Well, first of all, I would like to thank you, William, for the very kind invitation to share this service this morning, and to thank all the ladies here in Brookside to come and speak at your service. I do count it an honour to be asked. And I would also like to thank all the ladies for what you do to contribute to the work of the wider church, both at home and overseas through Presbyterian Women. PW is part of an organisation which supports in part some 27 deaconesses in congregations, in hospitals and in communities, bringing Christ's love and hope into so many different situations. People like Muriel Crummey, working at the Northern Ireland Cancer Centre at the Belfast City Hospital. Or Jenny Robinson, heading up the work at South Belfast Friendship House. Or Amanda Cooper, working in New Row Congregation in Coleraine. Or Linda Gibson, acting as chaplain at McGabry Prison near Moira. And of course, Eleanor Drysdale and Phyllis Linton, working in nearby Ballymena. And in addition, PWA members, on top of what you give to the United Appeal, gave last year some £200,000 towards the work of the Board of Mission overseas to support missionaries like James and Heather Cochran, teaching theology students in Portugal, or Ron and Hilary McCartney, working at Foreman Christian College in Pakistan, or Diane Cusick, working at Mazuzu in Malawi, and Alona and Chuba Verish doing youth work in Transylvania in Romania. So your PW group here in Brookside is not a passive organisation. It's not an organisation which exists for itself, but rather through the, it's very active, and through the prayer and financial support of the ladies here in Brookside, along with all the other branches throughout Ireland, it seeks to bring the love of Jesus Christ in the most practical, down-to-earth ways. And of course, I have to mention Wider World. I was editor of the magazine for 12 years, and it's just great to see the magazine going from strength to strength. It is actually one of the oldest magazines of our Presbyterian Church. It originally started as a little free paper, which was passed around the ladies' auxiliaries in the various congregations of our church towards the end of the 19th century. And for some reason, it was always printed on pink paper, and it became known in the very early days as the pink paper. But later on, you probably remember it, some of your older members, as Woman's Work. And then later on, of course, as Wider World, in the hope that it would be regarded as a magazine for the whole church. And to this day, it has news of missionaries, news of deaconesses, branch news, and relevant articles to encourage a Christian mindset and Christian discipleship. And indeed, support for mission, both at home and overseas, runs through this magazine and indeed through PCI's women's organisations, whether it's they have been called the WMA or the PWA or the PW, as we are now called. Women have always been keen supporters of mission. They have prayed, they have raised funds in all kinds of ways. Of course, they've baked, but that's not the only thing they've done. I remember reading in the original issues of Woman's Work to raise money for missions, one woman grew snowdrops and sent them to Covent Garden to raise funds. And my favourite was one woman had a missionary hen, and every egg it laid went to the support of the missions. So there's all sorts of ways of giving to the work overseas. The ladies here in PW have been encouraged this year to think on the theme, Under His Wings. And it was lovely to hear you sing that piece this morning. And we read in Psalm 91, verse 4, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. And here I think it is talking about that feeling of security. Now, many adults can recall a childlike feeling of security when they think of the past, a sense that you're protected, that you're perfectly safe, and that somebody else is in charge. Now, in properly functioning homes, all children should have that feeling. Not all adults do, and they miss it. I remember once hearing a man about 50 being interviewed, and the interviewer asked, if you could be any age you wanted, what age would you choose? Would it be 66 and looking forward to retirement? Would it be 18 with the whole of life ahead of you? Think about it. If you could choose any age you wanted, what age would it be? Well, this man thought for a moment and then said it was up to him. He would like to be 3 years old. Why three? Said the interviewer. Well, when you're three, you don't have any responsibilities. And that's right. When you're three, your burdens are usually small. You sleep under your parents' care, just like a chick under the mother bird's wings, secure in the knowledge that somebody else is in charge, somebody big, somebody strong, somebody experienced, somebody able to take care of whatever disaster might occur. And that's one reason why children sleep so well, or they ought to. Their nest is sheltered and feathered. But adults need to know that they are sheltered and protected too. Because adults get old, adults get sick. Sometimes they are betrayed. Their lives don't turn right as they had hoped. They're disappointed. And let's face it, some adults are just downright ignored. Never really receive any respect. Some adults live their lives day in, day out under tremendous stress. And to all such people, Psalm 91 speaks a word of comfort. It's one of the great themes of the Bible, and especially of the Psalms, that God is our shelter. And that's what we have been encouraged to think about in PW this year, that He is in control, that He will cover us with His feathers, and under His wings we will find refuge. And the point is that just as chicks find protection under the wings of a mother bird, so God is our shelter. John Timmer was a young boy in the Netherlands at the start of the Second World War, and German troops had swept across the border into his homeland, and nobody knew what to expect next. And then on the second Sunday of May 1940, as the Timmer family were sitting down for their Sunday lunch at their home in Harlem, suddenly they heard the eerie whining of the air raid siren and the droning of German bombers. And of course, they were all scared out of their minds. And John's father said, "Let's go and stand in the hall, because they say it's the safest place in the house." And then he continued, "Why don't we pray? Because there's nothing else we can do." And John Timmer wrote later that he didn't remember anything of his father's prayer except these words, "O God, in the shadow of your wings, we take refuge." And here's that picture again of a mother bird with her chicks, which all generations of God's people have cherished. And what Psalm 91 verse 4 is saying is that when the winds begin to howl, God is in control. Under his providence, we are protected. And it's an invitation to rediscover or indeed recover our childhood feeling of security in the nest, or maybe to discover it for the first time for those of us who did not really know security. And it's a picture which offers comfort, real comfort. Secondly, and briefly, let's just tease it out a little. How true is this picture of a sheltering God that we've been asked to reflect upon? A God who is in control. Does this psalm mean that we're supposed to ignore the terror of the night? Will we escape the arrow that flies by day? What about the drunk driver who smashes into your car? What about pestilence and plague, or those illnesses which can strike at any time? With just a few words, life crumbles. Let's face the truth. Faith in the sheltering wings of God does not remove physical danger, does not remove suffering. And when such things happen, do you not ask why? Where are the wings of God now? I know I ask that. And yet as Christians, we don't expect not to suffer in this world. For a moment, think of Joseph. He was just a teenager when his father gave him a magnificent robe, the kind of robe you see the Arab sheikhs floating about in at a conference. But then in Genesis chapter 39, we find him languishing in an Egyptian prison cell. Imagine what went through his mind. His mother had died when his young brother Benjamin was born. That would have left a mark. Then he lost his brothers. They all turned against him when he rather unwisely bragged about his dreams. That would have left a mark. Then, consumed with rage, his brothers got rid of him to slave traders, and he lost his father and he's lost his home. And of course, as a slave, he lost his freedom. He lost his security. He lost any rights as a human being, because when you were a slave, you were considered subhuman. So he was robbed of all dignity. And then we come to that episode in Potiphar's house when his master's wife tore his robe off and he was wrongly accused and he lost his reputation. He lost his good name. His life story was loss, loss, loss up to that point. And by the end of Genesis chapter 39, we find Joseph in prison. And 13 long years he waited there. Years when God seems to have been silent as far as Joseph was concerned. And when we read our Bibles, we see that Joseph wasn't alone. Job suffered terribly. The disciples suffered. Jesus suffered. Remember when our Lord was crucified, he shouted, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" So being a Christian isn't some supernatural insurance policy that gives us full coverage against evil. If it did, everyone would be Christian out of pure self-interest. If we had a money-back guarantee against accidents or natural disasters or illness or acts of terrorism, then we'd have no worries about church growth, because our churches would be full to overflowing with people seeking not a savior, but the ultimate insurance policy. We know that under the wings of God, bad things happen to good people. We know that as Christians, we can fall victim to some devastating illness. We know that we can believe in God with all our hearts and yet have our hearts broken by the loss of a loved one or the failure of a marriage or by some deep inner wound that refuses to heal. So what does this verse mean that we've been asked to reflect on this session? Is God in control? I believe that as Christians, we can say that he is, and this is why. Generation after generation of bruised and hurting Christian people have known in the depths of their suffering a hand on them in the darkness, a still small voice calling out their name, a deep reassurance that ultimately, God works all things out for good to those who love him. Think again of Joseph. For 13 long years, he waited in that awful prison. Do you know what God was doing? God was building character. And you know, character is the only thing that survives death, and it takes time to build character. Joseph didn't become bitter. He let go, and through God's providence, he eventually found himself as chief minister at Pharaoh's court in Egypt and able to play a part at the heart of affairs of state. Or think of Job, who never found an answer to the cause of every unfair thing that happens in the world. But instead, he found God. And the assurance that God will be fair in the end. God does not answer Job's question as to why these awful things happen. He simply shows him his justice and his mercy. And I think that's what Psalm 91 is saying, that ultimately, despite all the tragedies of this world, no final evil will ever befall us. The Bible never gives us any nice, neat answers to suffering. Jesus did not come to explain away suffering or remove it, but he did come to fill it with his presence, so that ultimately nothing, as it says in Romans 8, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, not in this life or in the life to come. We may be scared, we may be scarred, we may be shaken, but we come to know that we can trust God in the dark. We can trust him when everything is all wrong. We are like fledglings which scuttle under the wings of a parent. It is a sad, sick world out there, and the forces of evil beat on those protecting wings with everything they have. But when the storm is over, we look out. The wings may be battered and bloodied, but they never fold. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings, you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield. Do we get the picture? Are you under his wings this morning? As Christians, no final evil will ever befall us there. We can trust God even in the dark. Finally, some of you will know that for the past 20 years, I've worked for the Northern Ireland Prison Service. And over the period of the Troubles, 29 members of staff were murdered. One of them was the assistant governor of the then Mays Prison, Bill McConnell, murdered by terrorists. He had predicted his own death, and at his funeral, a letter was read which he'd left. And the closing paragraph was as follows. Finally, let no one be alarmed as to my eternal security. In March 1966, I committed my life, my talents, my work, my actions to Almighty God in sure and certain knowledge that however slight my hold upon him may have been, his promises are sure, and his hold on me complete. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Security is something that we all need, something that we all want. But verse 4 of this psalm reminds us that as Christian people, the security that we enjoy in this world is knowing that we are in God's hands and that our eternal security is safe with him too. Can we say this morning, as Bill McConnell did all those years ago, his promises are sure and his hold on me complete. God grant that it may be so. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, which challenges us and comforts us. And we pray that this morning you would help us to trust ourselves into your hands and to know in our hearts that we are secure in you, now and forever, complete. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.